Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Our thought leader today is Ed Curry, certified mortgage planner and construction loan specialist at Associated Bank. Ed, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I want to hit first where mortgage rates are right now. Give us a sense of where things are, both with the 30-year fixed and some of the other products.
They've been kind of in the middle of where they've been over the last 6 months. 30-year fixed right now is about 3.75, 3.875. depending on a couple factors. 15-year fixed around 3 1/8 to 3 1/4, and some of the ARM rates are a little bit lower. The yield curve is still relatively flat, so you're not seeing a huge difference between the fixed rates and ARMs these days. Some of the shorter term ARMs, like a 3-year ARM, for example, are as low as upper 2s or lower 3%.
What has the trend been in all of these products?
You know, last 6 months has been relatively flat, and it's been a pretty low difference between highs and lows over the last 6 months. 30-year may have troughed about 2-3 months ago around 3.5 and as high as 4%. I would anticipate we're going to stay in that range the next couple months.
Numbers in the next year, in 2020, do we see that trend, that flat trend, continuing, or what's your prediction?
It's interesting. You know, the Fed, their recent meeting is basically saying they anticipate no rate cuts or increases in 2020. I always tend to be a little skeptical of the forecast. Last year when they were saying they were going to raise rates probably 4 times, that seemed a little much. And when they say they're going to cut aggressively, it seems much as well. So staying flat, I'm in a weird place. But still seems probably wrong. So I would anticipate the economy doing one of two things, either seeing inflation ignite a little bit and having them maybe the markets being concerned that the Fed may need to jump in and raise rates again. Mm-hmm. Or you could see some of the softening, which a lot of economists have been predicting for the last 2 or 3 years. You may see then the Fed come in and start to cut rates again. And again, mortgage rates are not directly related to the Fed rates, but they do anticipate what the Fed will do. So usually when the Fed does something, mortgage rates have already adjusted to that fact.
What does mortgage activity look like? How's business been lately?
It's been solid. You know, it's been a nice mix between refinances, purchases. Purchases are seasonally soft around this time of year, but there's still been some good opportunity for clients to refinance. And then construction still continues to remain strong. People doing, whether it's minor improvements to their home or even yesterday I had a client tearing down a home that they've lived in for the last 35 years to build a brand new one.
Yeah, and that trend, it looks like it might be continuing. We saw this week numbers from the government on housing starts, building permits, those kinds of things. All of that is higher, and one of those gauges was up at a 12-year high.
Absolutely, and a lot of has been said about the low inventory, that there's just a lot of homes for people to look at and to purchase, and some of the homes that are have a lot of offers on them. So that environment has really created a number of people after months, several months in some cases, to give up on that and decide to stay put where they're at. They figure they like most of their neighbors, so they'll just improve that the home that they have.
What is the season like? I know we talk about seasonality throughout the year, about when is a good time to buy a new home, when is it a good time to refinance. The end of the year, the beginning of the year, are those bad times to do either of those things?
You know, refinances really are rate dependent, so there really is no good time or bad time. I've seen some historical graphs that seem to indicate that mortgage rates seasonally tend to be lower in the early spring and early summer, early spring to early summer. But at the end of the day, it just depends on where rates are for refinances. From a purchase perspective, you could argue that really any time is good. There's a number of homes that get taken off the market during the holidays in between Thanksgiving and Christmas until the new year. Some people will say after the Super Bowl. But the people who do have their house on the market are really motivated to sell it. So if you're a buyer that really wants to buy during the holidays, you're probably going to have homes that are available for sellers who really want to sell.
Right.
So you could argue that's a great time to buy.
And buyers who really want to buy, because we talked about this inventory issues. There are people who may have sold another home somewhere who need to buy a place to live, and they're not finding a lot of inventory.
Absolutely. It's scarce, and we hear a number of clients just say, I'm throwing in the towel, can't find a new house, and I'm going to tear down the one I have.
Right. Or what's the other alternative there? Go to the renting market, right?
Go to the renting market. Absolutely.
And even that, the inventory is pretty tight on
Correct.
That. So, Ed, when we hear the government and projections say that the building permits are up, we're going to see more of this building, how long does that generally take to impact your business?
It's generally, new construction tends to be a longer cycle, because you have really two areas of new construction. You have the single family custom construction. That's the individual finding a lot that they want to purchase, or a home to tear down, or a home to just to do some minor or major rehab in. That's pretty immediate. New construction for large developments takes much longer period of time. So you don't tend to see that have a real impact on a day-to-day basis.
You know, one of the good pieces of advice is, if you are thinking about doing any of this, refinancing, buying a new home, you want to get your finances in order. There's time to do that before you actually jump in the water with you. What would your advice be on people to not only, let's say, improve their credit rating, but improve their overall chances of getting the best mortgage possible?
And one of the key thing on credit, we talk about this quite often, is the utilization rate of revolving or credit cards. There are a number of different so-called risk factors that impact our credit scores. And one of the, of course, the important ones is paying your bills on time. But the other one is really the utilization rate of a credit card. If you have a credit card with a limit of, say, $1,000, and you run it up to $900 each month, pay it off every month, that's great. You're paying it off every month, but you're utilizing 90% of that limit. And once you start getting above 25, 50, 75% of the limits, that does have a negative impact. In fact, I've seen clients with absolutely perfect credit that have maxed out credit cards, several, and have credit scores below 600, which is a very low, poor score. So one of the keys you can do in terms of taking advantage of keeping that low credit utilization, at the same time being able to still use your credit card, is 60 days before you plan on applying for a mortgage or look for a home, get in the habit once a week of going in and paying down online, paying down or paying off, ideally, that credit card to zero. So that way, instead of running it up to $900 once a month, you may run it up to $200 or $250 once a week. So that way, when credit's pulled, because you have no idea when it's going to be reported and what that balance is going to be reported as, then you're going to be at 25 or 30% utilization rather than 90%. And, you know, in that example, you might see anywhere between a 25 to 50 point improvement of your score, which can make a difference between an eighth, quarter, three-eighths in interest rate once you ultimately apply and lock into a rate.
Yeah, when you first told me about this, one of the first times you were in on the Thought Leader conversation, you scared the heck out of me, because I'm one of those people that use my credit card for groceries to get points.
Most people do.
And so I stopped doing that. I don't do that, because you scared the heck out of me.
You're welcome.
One of the other cool stories that we saw this past week that I wanted to talk to you about, and every once in a while you'll see one of these stories online. This headline says, a Michigan couple paid off their $200,000 mortgage in less than 4 years on a combined salary of $150,000. Okay, how did they do it, and is that something that all of us can do?
Specifically, they probably did it by really, really looking at their finances, which very few people do, making a budget, which very few people do, and really counting every penny every day. Most people don't do that. Most people can't do that, don't want to do that. So I think ultimately, when you look at paying that mortgage down, you really have to, big picture, look at two things. Does it make sense from a financial perspective, and does it make sense from a personal perspective? There's certainly one aspect to look at on a mortgage is there is ultimately a cost of that money. In many cases, most people can take full advantage of a full write-off of that mortgage interest. So if you're paying, say, 4% on your mortgage rate, You may be paying a little bit less than that when you take into account the tax benefit you have to write off that mortgage interest. The flip side of it is most people have assets they're earning interest on. If it's sitting in a checking account earning 0.1%, that's not a lot. In some cases, some people might be making overall 6-8% on their money or more, depending on where they have their money, if they have a good financial advisor, et cetera. So you could argue that paying your mortgage down in some instances may not be a good idea. If you're paying 4% on your debt, but you're making 8% on your money, do you want to take your money that you're making 8% on and paying off a debt at 4%? Because at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing, have the most money when you retire.
Yeah.
And if you're making 8% on your money, it's going to grow a lot more than what it's going to cost you at 4%.
There's that mental feeling about, oh, I don't have a mortgage payment anymore. But there is some math that you might want to go in
Correct.
And look at.
And that's the flip side as well, the personal side. For some people who are conservative, they just want to get rid of that mortgage. And that's understandable, too. If that allows you to sleep better at night, if that makes you feel better, certainly understand you might be losing some opportunity to make some money. But for a lot of people, that makes the most sense. One of the other things, too, is you see a lot of rehash articles about the biweekly mortgage. The biweekly mortgage is essentially a mortgage where you pay your full mortgage amount every 2 weeks in half. So if it's a $1,000 mortgage payment monthly, you're paying $500 every 2 weeks. At the end of the day, that's 26 payments versus 24 payments, an extra one payment annually.
Mm-hmm.
So you can accomplish the same thing if you'd like by simply once a year making one extra payment. That's going to cut down a 30-year term loan to around 21, 22 years. And that also then gives you the ability, if for some reason you have some unexpected expenses come up, you then can take some of that money and divert it to those unexpected expenses. One of the things you don't want to do is, and I see this every so often, clients sign up for a 15-year fixed loan because they want to force themselves to pay their mortgage down. And then a couple years later, I hear from them again, and they've got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in credit card debt.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you have that reserve account available for emergencies, and you need to make sure you do sit down, do that budget, and make sure you're going to have the funds to be able to make that 15-year payment and pay for your other stuff as well. So that's why in most cases, I tend to recommend do a 30-year amortization loan, 30-year loan, and make the extra payments. That way you always have the flexibility to cover other expenses if they come up.
Ed, great stuff. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Reach out to me by email, ed.curry@associatedbank.com. That's ed.currie@associatedbank.com.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.